Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
My goodness, there's so much going on, but a lot of people, especially young people, I would say when I say young people, let's look at around 24 and up. And they are very concerned about the prices of so many things here in our great state as well as in our country. We know that there are a lot of things that are happening. Like, for example, for more than 75% of participants in a recent bank rate survey said that they did not make any contributions to their emergency funds in 2023. Now, with crushing inflation and rises in interest rates, many feel like they're behind on the essentials as we head to the end of the year. And I agree with this. Seriously, it's not just young people. It's middle class. Middle-aged people. It's the elderly. It's so many people are very concerned about where we are going. Where are we going when it comes to our lives and what we do have in order to feed our families and that sort of thing? Well, to talk about all of this, to dive into these issues and hopefully provide some help, we've invited Matt Elliott on the program, the founder of Pulse Financial Planning in Rochester. And he's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. How are you, Matt? May I call you Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Call me Matt. And thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. Okay, this is a really big deal that not enough people that I know, particularly people of color, I don't have those conversations with a lot of people of color. I am a black woman, and it used to be that you would talk about it. You know, if you all of a sudden was in a mall or in a grocery store and someone came up to you and said, hey, I heard you talking about, you know, surveys about emergency funds. And, you know, that's something we all should be talking about, that. Hey, let's go sit down for a minute at Byerly's and just kind of talk about what we need, what you need and what I need. And I bet it's completely opposite. These are the things that people want to know, but maybe we've put it aside. Where do you think we are here in the great state of Minnesota? Where are we when it comes to looking at what emergency funds are? Are we still on top of it as Americans? Are we still doing what we need to do to make sure that we get out of all of this, you know, with something worth something?
Yeah. I think, as you pointed out, that it's definitely fallen behind. Americans and Minnesotans as well have fallen behind on saving for emergency funds. And, you know, I think there's a lot of factors there. Oftentimes the most obvious answer is the right one. So inflation, I think, has been a big impact and made it more difficult for a lot of families to, you know, not just meet their day-to-day bills, but also to be saving for those emergencies and other short-term goals that might be coming up. So that certainly has made it harder here over the last 2 years now. We've really been facing that higher inflation.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing. We talk about the inflation right now and the interest rates as well that are rising, and it's really frustrating because when we first heard about inflation, some of us got comfortable. It's like, oh, yeah, it doesn't sound bad at all. It's really okay. Yet as the days and months go, all of a sudden you start to feel it. You feel the pain. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, definitely. I think inflation is one of those things that's kind of, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, where you don't really see it. You know, you're not thinking about it every day. And even at the end of the month, you might look at your bank account and then and wonder, you know, where did all this money go? You don't, it's not any one thing. It's just the aggregation of all these things costing more. And you know, wages maybe not keeping pace with what we've seen with inflation is a big part of that, too. If we're not seeing, you know, if you're not seeing your take-home pay go up as much as the cost of things is going up, you're gonna feel that at the end of the month, and it does make it a lot more difficult to do things like save for your emergency funds.
So as you know so much about this, are you looking around the country to define what Americans are really thinking about when it comes to having emergency funds? And I keep mentioning emergency funds because I know I'm one that look at that and go, oh my God, do I have enough?
Yeah, that's a good point. And maybe just defining what that is a good starting point. So I generally tell most people, think of your emergency fund as 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses that's sitting in bank account that you are not touching and don't plan to touch for anything other than for what it's stated for there for an emergency. So heaven forbid there's a loss of income for some period of time, or there's an accident, health problem. There's lots of things that we try to plan for as much as we can to come to our finances. But the one thing that we know, inevitably, the thing that we don't plan for will pop up at some point. So that's what that emergency fund is there for. I usually say 3 to 6 months, for most people makes sense. Make that more if your income is potentially more volatile. So if you're self-employed, maybe your employer, there's some questions there. In most cases, I would recommend trying to go up to as much as 12 months of expenses as you can. But as we talked about at the beginning, just even saving anything is a good starting point when it's been tough for a lot of Americans and Minnesotans as well to put away the savings that that we really need to be secure.
How much would you recommend? Can you give us a number where you can say at least start here and hold on to it?
Yeah, it depends on depends a lot on what your monthly expenses are. So if you, look at your budget, you spend $5,000 a month on average, $15,000 to $30,000 would be a good, healthy emergency fund. And if that's an intimidating number for you, a lot of these things when it comes to finance, just like, when we go to the gym, you don't go to the gym and after a couple of days or a couple of weeks expect to look like the Rock, right? It takes a while. So just getting on the path to maybe saving a few hundred dollars or what we can to start to get towards those figures. So I would look at it as a factor of your monthly expenses to decide what's right for you.
Right, $15,000 to $30,000. Some people are gasping right now as they listen to that number, because maybe to you that number may seem really small, but there are Minnesotans and so many others. And I just had my vacation in Los Angeles, and I have to tell you that with the cost of everything, if you want to buy toothpaste, it's way more than it is here in the Twin Cities, right? And so people are frustrated, and young people who are excited about all of this building that's been happening here in the Twin Cities, and I'm very excited that the Twin Cities are doing okay. But a lot of young people are starting to complain about the prices. So when does the ebb and flow of it all, when would you say there will come a time this year or next year when you will have some a way of just stopping and taking exhaling?
Yeah, it really depends on your personal situation, but I think unfortunately on an aggregate level, things might get a little bit tougher for a period of time coming up, primarily due to, if you have student loans, this isn't going to be news to you, but student loan payments resumed here just in October again. So it's one of those things where you spent over 2 years now not having to pay on your federal student loans, and it's pretty easy to absorb that into our, maybe your monthly spending or your budget when you're not having to pay that. But then when that switch gets turned and all of a sudden that student loan bill shows up again, that's one added bill. And for a lot of people, it's a substantial bill that just started again here in October. So that's one piece that might make things a little bit more difficult. These are definitely issues and problems for a lot of Americans, but I think, things that we can try to focus on would be to, there's a few ways to look at it. Unfortunately, we can't make money appear out of thin air. I wish we could, but, we either have to try to figure out ways to earn more or spend less. That's going to be the equation to trying to get to a place of a little bit more savings. And one thing, and everyone's situation is a little bit different and employment situations vary. But one thing that I would encourage, especially if you're maybe your raise discussion annually, a lot of times those occur around now through the beginning of the year. Look at what inflation has been over the last couple of years and really maybe think about trying to use that as a negotiating tool with your employer, saying, hey, we have seen prices go up. My wage hasn't kept pace with that. And you know, really try to see if you can use that as a tool to try to increase your earning power potentially a little bit. Again, I know everyone's situation is different, but there's not a whole lot of downside to going to negotiate to your employer. I think it's something a lot of people could do more of. You know, most employers, if you ask for more money and you clearly state why, hey, here's what inflation's been, my wage hasn't kept up with that, they're not going to fire you for bringing that up. A worst case scenario is you're in the same place you are right now and maybe not getting the increase in your wage that you hoped for. There's a chance that they could offer that to you. And it's worthwhile. I think it's worth your time to try to see if you can increase your earning power that way.
Yeah, we have a few more minutes, Matt. And I'm just curious to know about the bank rate survey. What else did you learn from it? What I've read and you and I have talked about so far, that seems to be the norm. You know, this we always hear about the bank rate survey, and these are some of the things we're going to hear about, especially if there are increases on the inflation. So what else did you hear, though? What pearl did you find that said, hey, we need to go deeper into this particular thing?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, as far as maybe little things that we can try to do to help with increasing our savings a little bit, I mentioned the earn more piece, and just one thing to maybe for some people to try to see about ways to increase your earning there. But the other piece would be figuring out how to, spend less, but also maybe just make it easier to save. And so what I like to do, what I recommend a lot of clients do, is set up what I call automatic savings. So we have a tendency, I think, for the money that's sitting in our bank account, it a lot of times gets spent. And that's human nature. That's the way that that we kind of work. But setting up, you know, a deduction from your paycheck that goes to a separate account, that's maybe a high-yield savings account somewhere that you're not touching, you're not looking at day-to-day. When you go to the ATM, you're not seeing that as a piece of that balance there. Lo and behold, you know, when it's not there right in front of you, that temptation's a little bit less, and that can be one way, that an effective tool that I've seen that can help with making it easier to save, because it's not fun, and I know we all have bills, and it can be tough to do, but it makes it at least a little bit more palatable if it's just kind of set up on an automatic way where you're not having to think about it and you're not tempted to. It's easier to buy things than ever now with Amazon and everything else. So reducing that temptation a little bit always helps.
Well, I sure appreciate you joining us tonight. Matt Elliott, he's the founder of Pulse Financial Planning. And of course, we've learned a lot tonight, and we really appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me. Have a great night.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.